This is the word of the Lord found in 1 Samuel chapter 31. Reading the whole chapter, it's 13 verses. 1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men, that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. That's a sad chapter of Scripture about the fall of Saul, the son of Kish, the king over Israel. That describes his last hours. Now let me describe the end of another man's life who was also named Saul. Saul of Tarsus. He describes some of his last feelings in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting with verse 5 through verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 5 through 8. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I take this subject by way of saying amen to what Brother Larry has just preached. He made a statement there that said the time salvation for God's children in this world is not trivial. It's not something to be taken lightly. Anybody that says, "Oh well, we're going to heaven, so what happens on earth doesn't matter," does not understand the truth, not only the truth that's written down in the Bible, they don't understand what's important at all. What he said is extremely needful for us to pay attention to. I think many that have been with Primitive Baptist a long time know that most of us find in the Scriptures a description of salvation unto eternal life that was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and a description of salvation from darkness, error, ignorance, and guilt in this life. And that also, as Brother Larry has just declared to us, is in Jesus Christ. And certainly all of those benefits are received, all the benefits of life itself when we go home to be with the Lord. But those benefits of abundant life in this world are often missed by God's children. And it's not casual. It's not trivial. It's grievous. This is a weighty matter an important matter. There's many verses we can go to talk about eternal salvation, but one that occurs to me would be, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's talking about salvation unto eternal life. It was God's purpose and grace before the world began to give us salvation in Christ Jesus, not according to our own works, and that includes the work of our decision, but according to God's own purpose and grace. That means it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, if you want to read about a deliverance that has happened, you can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the last two verses, and it mentions there how the Thessalonians had turned from idols to serve the living God. And then it says, even unto Jesus Christ, who delivered us from the wrath to come. I believe he mentioned that. That deliverance is one that's accomplished. This is something you need to understand so much. If the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, you are saved forever. Eternal life is yours, and you will get to heaven. There's not going to be any missing it. But now Brother Larry mentioned in Galatians there that he might save us from this evil world. There is a salvation there that's available to you. Will you enjoy it while you live on the earth? And you say, all right, I see that. There's a salvation that, and you want an example of that salvation. He gave us one there, that he might save us from this evil world. The Apostle Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There are salvations that can be missed by God's children in this world, and we don't want to miss it, and they're not trivial. So why did I read the text that I did? Because it's about two men named Saul. One is Saul of Gibeah, or the son of Kish. He's the one that just died in battle with the Philistines, and we read that from 1 Samuel chapter 31. The other is Saul of Tarsus that I read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he eventually had his name changed to Paul. So just to keep them clear, let me call the first Saul King Saul, and let me call the second Saul the Apostle Paul. And that'll help keep them straight. I believe both, and it's curious, both of them were born named Saul. Both of them were of the tribe of Benjamin. They came from the same tribe of Israel. My firm conviction is that both of them were children of God, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Apostle Paul was because he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and asked him, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then the Apostle Paul says, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And the Lord told him to go into Damascus and meet a man named Ananias and be baptized and receive his sight. And then the Lord showed him what great things he must suffer for the name of Jesus Christ as he went forth proclaiming the gospel of his Savior. So there was a man that had eternal life. And then we look at King Saul. If you go and read, when he first met the prophet Samuel, he was looking for some lost donkeys, and he ate with Samuel, and Samuel told him the donkeys are all right, and then he told him some things that would happen to him, and let him go so that he would go do that. And it says, as Saul turned from Samuel, the Lord gave him another heart. I've heard people object to that and say, well, it didn't say that he gave him a new heart. And I say, well, why would the Lord give him another old heart? Why would he give him another sinful heart? The Lord gave him another heart. That is a heart that had God's commandments and laws written in them. And you can actually see that Saul, after that, was born again because he was small in his own sight. He was humble. And he was obedient to the Lord, and he defended the city of Jabesh-Gilead to keep them from being conquered, and led Israel, and they all gathered together and won a great victory. And then the men of Israel said, well, those fellows that criticized you when you were first crowned king, and they laughed at you and mocked you, let's kill them. And Saul said, no, don't kill him, for God's wrought victory in Israel today. You see, there was forgiveness and mercy in Saul. So this King Saul, he had another heart. He was small in his own sight. He followed the Lord in defending his brethren. He was merciful to his detractors. I'll tell you, sign after sign after sign says he was born again by the Spirit of God. Both of these men were named Saul. Both of them were from the tribe of Benjamin. Both of them had the life of the Lord within them. I believe both of them are in heaven at this moment. And I think the Scripture supports that assertion. But you're going to have to admit their last days and a lot of their days on earth were very different. We read about how King Saul died. It was pitiful. He spent most of his last years afflicted with an evil spirit, subject to bursts of anger, not only throwing a javelin twice at David, once even throwing a javelin at his own son, Jonathan. And he was troubled. His leadership began to slip. And why? Because he disobeyed God. He didn't obey God in waiting for the Levites to offer sacrifice. He did it himself. He didn't obey God in consuming the Amalekites. He saved the king and he saved the best of the livestock for his own honor. And so Saul, in his disobedience, lost that ability to lead. And as he did, the evil spirit troubled him to such a degree that he really lost a lot of personal control over his own temper and his own actions. And you can see how his life just began to go astray. And many times he had events in his life that would have caused him to realize, yes, I'm going wrong. And he even said, I'm going wrong. But he didn't change and repent and stay with the right course. And so before he went to this battle where he died, he tried to get some guidance that was spiritual guidance. And the prophets didn't answer him. And Urim and Thummim, the items that the priest held, gave him no direction. And he didn't receive any other word of the Lord. And he said, I've got to have something supernatural and spiritual. And the Lord's not guiding me, so I'm going to go to a witch. So he went to this witch in the town of Endor and asked her to communicate with spirits and broke his own law where he had put the witches out of the land. So he there went searching for a witch and got a message from God that told him he was going to be dead the next day. And so when he went to this battle, they began the battle, and just as we've read here, the battle went against Israel. Many of them died. The Philistines were triumphant. Three of Saul's four sons, he had four sons and two daughters. He saw three of his sons die in battle. And then the arrows from the Philistine archers hit him. He was wounded. He was dying. He didn't want to be tortured. And he fell on his own sword. The Philistines came, took his armor, chopped off his head, and tacked his body to the wall of a town. And that's where it would have stayed had not the men of the little town he defended, back when he was humble and small in his own sight, broken through the guard of the Philistines and taken his body down and the bodies of his sons down from the wall and took them back and gave them a decent burial. Now, why do I mention that? Is there was a man who had eternal salvation and who didn't seek for God's salvation in this life. Now look at the other Saul, the Apostle Paul, and his life wasn't easy after he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be let down over the walls of Damascus in a basket to escape. Spent 3 years in Arabia just learning from the Lord. Went back to Jerusalem where some were kind to him, like Barnabas, but most of the church at Jerusalem didn't want him. They remembered how many of their loved ones he had persecuted and hurt. And he went up to Antioch, and there was a great revival going on there, and the church was prospering, and the Holy Spirit said to the preachers as they gathered together and met, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I send them. And Saul and Barnabas, that is the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, went throughout Turkey and established new churches all over the place. And then they went again, Paul went again with Silas, and he was in one place, and a man of Macedonia said, come over and help us. So he crossed over into Europe, established a church in the Macedonian city of Philippi, went down and preached at Thessalonica, went down and preached at Berea, preached at Athens, preached at Corinth, established a church there, went back to Ephesus, and then traveled again. The Apostle Paul was blessed by God to preach and establish churches among the Gentiles and among the Jews over and over and over again. Often he was the subject of assassination attempts. Often he was the subject of ridicule and rabble-rousing. And yet, when he was here writing 2 Timothy, he was in prison again. He ended up in prison a lot. He ended up in jail in Philippi in the stocks. He ended up in prison when he's writing the book of Philippians. He's in prison again as he's writing 2 Timothy there in the town of Rome. But you know, he would tell folks, don't tell me that I'm in danger. I have to go here so that I may finish my course with joy. And here we find the nature of his life was a life of joy. And when he came down to his last hours, he's writing to a young man who means so much to him, and he says, I have fought a good fight. Now, he didn't say, I've fought the fight well. He's not complimenting himself on how he's lived. He's just said, the fight I've been involved in is a good one. It's a good one. This is the fight you want to be involved in, and you want to be on the right side, the side of light and love and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That is, I've hung on and done what the Lord bid me to do. Henceforth, not therefore. He didn't say he earned a crown. He's just saying there is a crown. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see the nature of his life? Yes, he was in prison. But it wasn't a life of trembling. It wasn't a life of being afflicted with evil spirits. It wasn't a life of looking to psychics or witches or anything. It was a life of confident trust in his Savior, Jesus Christ. And as he looked back on his life, he was able to say, it was a good one. It was a good one. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I haven't earned a crown, but the Lord Jesus Christ has earned one for me, and it's kept for me. It's laid up for me. And after I'm through with this world, I'll go wear it. I want you to listen to what Brother Larry said. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, that is in addition to eternal glory, is something that shouldn't be taken by us trivially, not only for our own lives, but also for the lives of others. We need to be in prayer. Lord, deliver me. Help me to change. Help me to repent. Help me to trust in Thee. And oh God, I pray for others. I pray for loved ones. I pray for this church. I pray for sister churches. And Thy cause and Thy kingdom the world over. That not only might we have eternal life, which is sure to us by the work of our Savior, but we might have every salvation that is in our Lord Jesus. May God bless.